Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Verse 15 and 16, watch these couple of verses. And he saith unto them, the disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to take that verse there, verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? And I want to ask this question tonight, and here's the message. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And I want to try to help us a little bit this evening, encourage us a little bit tonight. And so let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you and give you every praise. Lord, all praise for this morning, Lord, and for the message, Lord, for working in hearts. Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, it's just amazing to me, Lord, that you would see fit to use someone like me. But yet, Lord, here I am in this position for whatever reason and purpose tonight, Lord. You've orchestrated this. And so I pray, Lord, that you would use the message tonight, Lord, to be a help to these people. And Lord, dear folks, we love every single one of these folks that are here. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the investment in my life and my family's life, and of course in Victory Baptist Church in Bloomfield as well. Lord, down through the years now, 11 plus years we've been there at Victory, and Lord, I just thank you for all you've done. Thank you for these folks. Pray, Lord, that we can be a help to them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, please. I generally don't say this before a message, but I want to see if I can get you to just kind of enjoy yourself a little bit tonight. Enjoy yourself in church, all right? Both of the messages this morning were a little bit more serious. Tonight, I just want you to have a good time in church. Put all the cares and the affairs of the past week out of your mind. Of course, all you men, I mean, you've been on vacation this week, and so this is just going to fit right in with your whole week, right? The ladies, though, who have been bearing the burden and fighting the battles, I want to try to help you all tonight, all right, ladies? And so, guys, you can just put up with it and be quiet. I'm just teasing with you. Feel free to say amen.
Amen.
Let's work on that. Feel free to say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's good. All right. And I was in actually a revival meeting one time down at Clay's Mill. We had a revival preaching conference down there. And they had a special song that was sung in one of the, I don't know who it was. I think he was visiting from another church somewhere that just came for the conference. And they must have been like part Pentecostal or something, because this old boy, he got up off like the second row and just like ran around the auditorium. Like everybody's screaming and yelling and hooping and hollering, but he just like took off running. So like if you want to take off running, that's fine, I guess, but y'all pay the liability insurance, right? Property insurance is good, okay? Just make sure you don't break your arm or anything important, but anyway, just enjoy yourself. I've been a pastor at Victory Baptist Church now 11 years, a little over 11 years. I've got every message that I've preached at Victory, or actually even before that, in children's churches and things, I've got all of that on my computer. And so now probably 2,500 plus messages over the last 11 plus years as pastor. A lot of different topics, a lot of different subjects, a lot of different messages that I've preached over the years. There's not a better subject to preach about than what I'm going to preach about tonight. Tonight I just want to preach about Jesus. If you can, I'd like you to enjoy yourself a little bit. Oh, there's a backslider coming right on you. The altar's open. It's my wife and daughter, okay? And so, anyway, we get excited about a lot of things. We get excited about grandkids. I don't. Some of y'all get excited about grandkids. I do get excited about fried chicken. Four-wheelers, guns, fishing. I get excited about all that stuff. I get excited about UK basketball. Yeah, man. Hey, somebody here's got to be right with God, all right? And so I've just taken that oath, I guess. But we get excited about a lot of different things. But, folks, I think we ought to get excited about Jesus. In our text passage, Jesus asked his disciples who other people in the area thought or said that Jesus was. Matthew chapter 16, look at it again. The Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He, Jesus, asked his disciples, saying, here's the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He then turns to the disciples and says, or narrows kind of the question down to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, by the way, listen, there's a lot of fault about in Simon Peter, but there's a whole lot of good there too. And I love Simon Peter. I kind of identify a lot with Simon Peter myself. But anyway, he pipes up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love this, folks. And this is an interesting question here, I think, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do men say that I am? And then he narrows it and says, whom do you say that I am? And so, listen, folks, in your own minds, think tonight. If Jesus were standing up here and he was the one that was talking to you, and he were to ask you, whom do you say that I am? Who am I to you, essentially? What would your answer be? And listen, folks, we sing all the time. We sing it at Victory. We've got a chorus book that we sing in Sunday school, all the chorus songs out of and things. And we sing at Victory all the time. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. And we sing that song. And we make those statements, and a lot of times I think as Christians we make the statement, but we don't actually allow it to like resonate and become who we are and what we think about Christ. And so I want to give you a message tonight. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? If you don't know what your answer would be to that question, let me help you to understand tonight exactly, or at least in part, who Jesus is. More than 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the rules and the course of nature. His parents, Joseph and Mary, were inconspicuous and uninfluential and had neither training nor education. He lived, Jesus did, in poverty and was reared in obscurity. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walking upon the billows as if pavement and hushing the seas to sleep. He healed multitudes and never made a charge for his service. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world cannot contain the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he's furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, and yet all the schools cannot boast of having as many students worldwide as he does. He never practiced medicine, and yet no one can claim to have healed more broken hearts and more broken bodies than he has. He never marshaled an army, fired a gun, or drafted a soldier, and yet no leader has had more rebels to stack arms and surrender without a shot ever being fired like he has. Every seventh day, the wheels of commerce stop turning, and multitudes of people find their way to a house of worship to bow down and worship and serve him. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have all come and gone, and yet the names of this man abound more and more. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He is adored by the saints of God. He is acknowledged by angels. He is feared by the demons of hell. He is the living, personal God of salvation, Jesus Christ. And listen very carefully, folks. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said that in Jesus we are complete. Did you guys know that in Jesus we have everything we need? We sing the song often, Christ is all I need. But listen very carefully. Have you ever thought about what that actually means? We have an acceptance that can never be questioned. We have an access that can never be denied. We have an assurance that can never be disappointed. We have an attraction that can never be superseded. We have a bank that never closes, a comfort that has never lessened, a deliverance that cannot be thwarted, a forgiveness that can never be rescinded, a glory that can never be dimmed, a grace that can never be arrested, a hope that can never be disappointed, a joy that can never be suppressed. We have a judgment that can never be repeated. We have justification that cannot be reversed. We have a nature that can never be changed now. We have peace that passes all understanding, a portion that can never be denied, a possession that can never be measured. We have a power that can never be exhausted in the person of Jesus Christ. We have a relation that can never be broken, a resource that can never be diminished, a resurrection that can never be hindered. Are y'all getting excited about tonight? We're talking about Jesus tonight, all right? A revelation that can never be destroyed, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a salvation that can never be be annulled, a seal that can never be broken, a service that can never go unrewarded, a standing that can never be disputed, a strength that cannot be impaired, a title that can never be clouded, a victory that can never be vanquished, and a wealth that will never be depleted. In Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. Someone once said to the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. Jesus is all things to all people, if you think about it. To the astronomer, he's the son of righteousness. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he's the living bread. Kind of like that one. To the banker, he's the treasure of all treasures. To the biologist, he is the life from which issues forth all life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he's the door. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the engineer, he is the new and living way. To the educator, he's the master teacher, rabbi. To the farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the horticulturist, he's the true vine. To the judge, he's the righteous judge. To the juror, he's the true and faithful witness. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he's the counselor and the lawgiver. To the news reporter, he's the good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To the oculist, he's the light of the eye, the optometrist. To the philanthropist, he is the gift of God. To the preacher, he's the word of God. To the sculptor, he's the living stone. To the student, he's the incarnate truth. To the statesman, he's the desired of all nations. To the servant, he is the good master. And listen very carefully, folks, that's the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is. He's all things to all people. To those of us who are saved by his blood, that means those of us that are Christians, children of God, if you're saved, listen very carefully, folks, Jesus is everything to you. He's your advocate. He's the anointed. He's the Alpha and Omega. Y'all with me? He's everything. He's the Ancient of Days, the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the bread, the brinks, the bridegroom. He's the bright and morning star. He's the captain. He's my consolation. He's the covenant. He's my counselor. He's the chosen of God. He is the Christ. He is a daysman. He's my deliverer. He's a day star. He's the door, the desired of all nations, the elect, the everlasting father. He's the finisher of our faith, the forerunner, my friend, the fountain of life, and a faithful witness. He is God. He is God, the one and only. There are no others. It's just him. He's the gift of God. He's a guide, a guard, a guarantee. He's heir of all things. He's high priest in hell's dread. He is heaven's wonder. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is I am. That's who he is. He's my inheritance. He is immortal. He is invincible. He is my intercessor. He's the judge. He's the just one. He's the great king, the king of Israel, the king of glory, the king of Salem, the king everlasting, the king of righteousness, the king of Zion, the king of peace, and the king of kings. And one of these days, every knee's going to bow. He's the light and life and love. He is the lily, the lamb, the lawgiver, the living stone. He is Lord. He's the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the lovely Lord, the Lord most wonderful, the Lord most precious, the Lord of righteousness, the Lord of Sabaoth, and the Lord of hosts. That's who he is. He's my master. He's my mediator. He's the messenger. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty God, the Nazarene, the Nazarite, and the number one in time and eternity. He's the offspring of David. He's the offering, the offerer, the only begotten Son of God. He's one altogether lovely. He is a priest, a high priest. He's a prophet, my propitiation. That's a tough word. I was nervous about that one. For a Kentucky boy like me, that's a tough one, all right? Propitiation. I struggle with that one, all right? He's the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the great physician. He's the Q. Think about this. He's the quickener of all those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Think about that. He is righteousness, a rabbi. He's the ransom, the refiner, my refuge, the root of David, the root of Jesse. He is the resurrection, the rose of Sharon, a ruler, my redeemer. He's the stone that the builders rejected. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. That's who he is. He's a shield. He's a servant. He's my surety. He's the seed of the woman. He is the sufferer, the sacrifice. He is my Savior tonight. He is the Shiloh. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a teacher. He is truth. He's a tabernacle. He is the tree of life. He's my umbrella of protection. He is my means of victory tonight. He is a witness. He's the Word of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the wisdom of God. He's wonderful. He's the wonder of wonders. He's the X. Think about that. I was talking to Miss Lynette this morning after church. I used to teach algebra here at the Christian school. And in algebra, we learned about the X. What's the X? The X is the unknown factor. And Jesus Christ, listen folks, is the unknown factor that it took to birth us into this world and birth us into the family of God. It's a miracle of God. Is the birth of a child, and the miracle of God is the birth of a lost soul. And he's the unknown factor there. He's the Y, the yearner for the souls of men and women and boys and girls all over the world. And he's the Z, the zenith of all of our hopes and aspirations, the pinnacle of our faith. That's who Jesus is. And listen very carefully, folks. I can't wait to see him face to face one day. Did you guys know that you can find Jesus in every book of the Bible? Well, Pastor Claney, there's 66 books of the Bible. Are you going to go through them all? I'm glad you asked. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our atoning sacrifice. By the way, folks, I'm trying to accomplish something tonight. I'm trying to, in your heart tonight, help you remember who this whole thing's all about. Because we can sit here and make these cliche statements all we want to about, well, Jesus is everything and Jesus is all I need. Hey, listen, folks, how much do we actually think about that? How much do we actually let that resonate in our heart and in our mind? And listen, folks, if we can sit and think about who Jesus is, then listen, folks, you know what? It'll create, listen, folks, a desire inside of us to want to spend more time with him and to want to serve him faithfully with our life. In Numbers, he's the smitten rock. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, he's the sword. In Ruth, he's the heavenly kinsman. In 1 Samuel, he's the reason David cried out, is there not a cause? In 2 Samuel, he's the ark. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's the coming great king. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's the reviver of nations. In Ezra, he's the restorer of the temple. Nehemiah, the restorer of the nation. Esther, he's the advocate. Job, he's the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord in the book of Job. In Psalms, he is all in all in the word of God. In Proverbs, he is the pattern. In Ecclesiastes, he's our goal. In Song of Solomon, he's the lily of the valley and the fairest of 10,000 of my soul. In Isaiah, he is wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the Lord of righteousness. In Lamentations, he's the merciful and faithful God. In Ezekiel, he made dry bones live again. In Ezekiel. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fire. Yeah, man. Woo! Hey, the form of the fourth man's like the Son of God, right? In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fire. In Hosea, he's the Redeemer. In Joel, he's the God who's right on time. Amen right there. In Amos, he's the one to be sought after. In Obadiah, he's the avenger of Israel. In Jonah, he's the compassionate master. Micah, the ruler to be born in Bethlehem. In Nahum, he's the Lord is good. In Habakkuk, he is friend of the preacher. And I thank God for that one. In Zephaniah, he's Israel's joy. Haggai, desire of all nations. Malachi, refiner's fire. Matthew, he's the king. Mark, he's the servant. Luke, he's the son of man. John, he's the son of God. Acts, he's the God, God, the Holy Ghost, working in the New Testament church. In Romans, he's my justified. God held a great glowing balance. One side was waiting for me. The other side held such perfection as God had demanded there be. Then God held a scale in the middle. One side soared high with my sin. I cried for my side to be balanced. Then Jesus, my Savior, stepped in. I'm justified. I'm so happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They'll never condemn me, for he holds me fast. He's our justified. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's the risen Lord. In Galatians, he's the pure grace of God. In Ephesians, he's the head of the body of the church. In Philippians, he's the joy. In Colossians, he's the image of the invisible God. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's the bridegroom a-coming for his bride. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's the bishop of our soul. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. Yeah, man. All right. In Philemon, he's the settler of our account. There was a time on earth went in the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. But I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And listen very carefully, and I'm happy now today that my sins are washed away. And the old account was settled long ago. He's the seller of our account in Philemon. In Hebrews, he's our sacrifice. In 1st, 2nd Peter, he's our returning Lord. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's light and life and love. In Jude, he's the one, the only wise God and our Savior. And in Revelation, we finally made it, all right? He is Lord God omnipotent, coming to rule and reign in great power upon the earth. That's who he is. I love the inspired King James Holy Bible. I love the testimony of the witnesses in the Bible about who Jesus is. John the Baptist, who is Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Peter, who is Jesus? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John, who is Jesus? He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Paul, who is Jesus? He's the head of the body of the church, and him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Matthew, who is Jesus? He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Moses, who is he? I am. David, who is he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Pilate, who is he? The one in whom I find no fault. Judas, who is he? The one through whose veins is coursing innocent blood. Angels, who is he? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thomas, who is he? Doubting Thomas, he is my Lord and my God. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, who is Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I love our songbook. If we would take these songbooks and put them in the average ecumenical church, you might have revival. Take these stupid 7-Eleven songs down off the stupid screen behind the pulpit. Take out an inspired song. Listen, that songbook's more inspired than the Bibles they got in them churches. I love the songbook. Think about that one for a minute, all right? Mr. Edward Perrinet, who is Jesus? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Mr. Carl Boberg, who is Jesus? O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear their rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Miss Leela Long, who is Jesus? There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Fanny Crosby, who is Jesus? Oh, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Mr. Alfred Ackley, who is Jesus? He would say this, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find none other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Mr. Will Thompson, who is Jesus? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Folks, listen very carefully. The purpose of the message tonight is simply this. It's easy for us as Christians going through a busy life and serving and doing what we do. It's easy for us to lose sight of why we're doing this. Not why we're doing this, but who we're doing this for. And I just wanted to come tonight and just say, hey, listen, let's just make sure we're focusing on Christ. Folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Becoming more and more like Jesus. I've heard this phrase before. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know where I heard that at, but I mean, that's what it's about, folks. Displaying Jesus more and more to the world around us. Serving Jesus and pleasing Jesus and worshiping and praising Him. It's not about men. It's not about men. It's not about pleasing men. It's not about a following. It's not about a camp. It's not about a fellowship. It's all about Jesus. Let's get it excited and thank God for Jesus again. Now, as much as I've tried to tonight here for about 20 minutes or so, there's no way that a preacher can adequately describe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. You can't adequately describe who He is. I've given you a pretty decent start this evening, but let's go back to where we began in Matthew chapter 16. We'll finish up here in literally a couple of minutes. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If Jesus were here tonight and asked you the question, whom say ye that I am, what would your answer be? I've just given you a whole lot of different possibilities of what your answer could be, like literally hundreds of them, all right? Let me tell you a couple of two or three of mine. I mentioned this one this morning in Sunday school. I'm not going to belabor it again tonight. But to me, the Lord Jesus Christ is my creator. John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's my creator. I believe in divine creation tonight. I don't believe, listen folks, in evolution. I believe in divine creation. I believe that one day, several thousand years ago, God stepped out on nothing and spoke all of this into existence. That's what I believe. I believe in divine creation. There may have been some of our ancestors that hung by their necks, but they didn't hang by their tails. Number one, He's my creator. Number two, He's my best friend. Be honest with you. Sometimes the ministry has a way of getting difficult for preachers. Can get lonely sometimes. Can get difficult. By the way, it's not just difficult on preachers, it's difficult on Christians too. I thank God now that for 11 plus years of being the pastor at Victory in Bloomfield, one thing that I've learned in the ministry is that Jesus is the best friend of God. And by the way, listen folks, that's not to say that I don't have friends in my life. I've got some fantastic friends, some men of God that I thank God for. Listen, I could go down through the list, but I'd leave a whole lot of folks off. A lot of them are here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But listen, folks, Jesus is the best friend I've got. My dad is the second closest person to me. My dad and I talk nearly every single day. Nearly every single day. I love my dad. Hardest thing about moving up here from Kentucky was leaving my dad. I've said that many times before. But listen, friend, I don't have a better friend than Jesus Christ. Jesus is the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one who laid down His life for us. He's the one who promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what a true friend is. And listen very carefully. I thank God that Jesus is my friend. Number three, here's who else Jesus is to me. He's the one who loves me and who gave His life for me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All the suffering that Jesus endured, and I thank God for the ladies that sang that song here before the service, that prepared the hearts for the message. It just went right hand in hand with the message tonight. All the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross of Calvary, He suffered willingly. Why? Because He loved us. Nobody forced Him to go to Calvary. Well, Brother Gerald, they came and they arrested Him, and they forced Him. No, they didn't. Jesus was in complete control of every event that day. By the way, remember what He said to Judas when Judas came with the band of men? What thou doest, do quickly. It's like, listen, we have to do this, do it quick. Let's go. Let's get this on. He was in complete control. He could have called 12 legion of angels if he wanted to. He's not somebody who was forced. Somebody who laid down his life, willingly gave his life for us. And by the way, listen, folks, I don't understand why Jesus would do that for someone like me. I don't know why Jesus would go through what he went through for someone like me. I've got a lot of people in my life that love me. My wife, for some reason, loves me. She's gotten to know me now, and she still loves me, so I guess that's saying something. At least I think she does. I don't know. I'm just kidding, all right? Julia and Laura and Natalie and Jacqueline and Annabelle, if you're counting, that's five. All girls. My daughters love me. My mom and my dad love me, I think. Pretty sure. No, I'm just kidding, they do. I've got three sisters who love me and a brother-in-law who loves me. And I've got a mother and father-in-law, Pastor Ross and Sister Cheryl, that love me and other family and friends that love me. I don't know why these folks love me, but listen, folks, all we can do is accept it. Right? Listen, folks, can I tell you tonight, there may be some times where Satan comes and sits on your shoulder and tells you nobody loves you. Can I remind you tonight, folks, Satan is a stinking liar. Because Jesus loves you. And Jesus not just loves you, but gave his life for you. Gave his life for you. And so listen, folks, at some point to me, who is Jesus? He's the one who loves me and who gave his life for me. There's a story I heard about a young couple who were going to be married. They had taken their horse and buggy. This is back in horse and buggy days. That's why they had a horse and buggy. They had horse and buggy. They took their horse and buggy into town and stopped at the general store. While the young man was in a store paying for the goods, something happened and spooked the horse that was out pulling their buggy, and it had the supplies and stuff in the back, and it had this young man's fiance in the front seat of that buggy there, and that horse took off. Something spooked it, and that horse took off out of town at breakneck speed. The young man heard the cries and saw what had happened. He ran out the store. He jumped on a horse and began to pursue after that horse and buggy that his bride-to-be was in. He caught up to them finally, and drawing his steed near to the runaway horse, he jumped out and caught the reins of the horse, and he held on to that rein of that horse, and as he did so was being dragged along, and his body then fell underneath the side of that horse, and he began to be trampled by that horse. Finally, he held on to that rein and finally was able to bring that horse to a halt. And that young man's body had been pummeled underneath the feet, the hooves of that horse. The young bride-to-be jumped down and picked up the head of her dying fiancé, and as she held his head, understanding that he didn't have very much longer to live, she asked him the question, "Why did you do it? Why did you do it?" The last words that young man said were, "Because I loved you. That's why." Folks, I got no reservation at all in saying that if the Lord Jesus Christ were to somehow walk in here tonight, down this aisle, if that happened, I'm done talking. I'll just step down here and fall on my face before him. And as he was walking down through here, you know what we would see? We would see the prince of the crown of thorns in his brow. We'd see the nail prints, Brother Chad, in his hands and in his feet. And there may be the temptation inside of us to say, "Why did you do it?" His answer would be, "Because I loved you. That's why." Listen, folks, I don't know who Jesus is to you, but that's a little bit of who he is to me. Here's what I know. I know that you and I as Christians are guilty sometimes of getting so busy in this life that we forget who this whole thing's about. We need to spend some time, folks, consistently thinking about who Jesus Christ is. You're to ask that question tonight. Who is Jesus to you? Whom say ye that I am? What's your answer tonight? Well, Christ is everything to me. Let me ask you a question. Did you spend time with him this week? Woo! I almost pulled a James Young. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Time out. In the message, Brother James was over here at Victory a couple of weeks ago presenting his Jasper ministry, and he pulled that right there. But he actually fell back and almost hit his head on the back of my piano. He fell completely down. You can tell him that I told you all that. It happened. I was sitting right there. And you know what I did? I laughed at him. My insurance was paid up at the church, so we were good. But listen, folks, let me ask you a question. You will, hey, Jesus is everything, Pastor Clanny. Did you spend time with him? Did you read his word this week? Did you spend time with him in prayer? Well, he's everything. Oh, really? If we're not going to spend time with him, how much does he actually mean to us? Let me ask you a question, folks. Did you share with others this week about who Jesus is? Listen, if he's everything to you, then that means that you're probably going to be excited and want to share it with somebody, right? So I ask you a question, folks. Whom say ye that the Lord Jesus Christ is? Whom say ye that I am? Jesus asks the question. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. We're finished. I'm done. I'm going to have Brother Chad come. I'm not going to go along the invitation here. I just want to say this tonight. You know, listen, folks. I spent some time telling you about who Jesus is tonight from the Word of God. I don't think it'd be a bad thing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for a bunch of Christians to gather at an altar tonight and just spend a few minutes telling Jesus thank you for who he is to you. Lord Jesus, we come to you this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are to us. Lord, we've looked at a lot of the different biblical truths and principles about who you are. But Lord, this whole relationship, Lord, it's a personal relationship with you that we have. And Jesus, you're not just a bunch of facts and truths from the Bible to me. Lord, you are a personal friend to me. You're my Savior. Lord, you're the one who loved me, Lord, enough to give your life for me. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for it. I don't deserve it, surely. But Lord, I can just accept it and thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you would challenge, Lord, some Christians tonight, Lord, to just spend some time at the altar, Lord, or maybe in the quietness of their home later on. Just spending some a little bit extra time this week thinking about who Jesus is to us. And spending some time praising you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And Lord, I pray that you use the message tonight, Lord, to be an encouragement to these folks and, Lord, a challenge to them as well. And Lord, we ought to be pursuing after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, living to please you every single day. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Chad.